guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale. Hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Our goal is to inform, update, and entertain the new shooter about the many fun and exciting aspects of sports shooting in Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. And remember what they say about opinions. Everybody has one. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George Hatch and Tom Donnelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of New Shooter Canada. This week we've got three pieces of news and girls and guns for our main topic. But before we get to all that, we have an announcement to make. Actually, I'm going to pass this off to Mr. Donnelly and let him make the announcement because he was instrumental in making this happen. So, Mr. Thomas, take it away.
Hello, everybody. Well, with the amount of topics and interests we have in the show, I thought it would be in our best interest to have a third co-host. And then I was thinking, well, you know, it'd be better if we actually had somebody else as a new shooter who could give input as a new shooter. And I was thinking, well, it'd be even better if we got a woman. So we'd like to introduce Kelly Lynn. She is now the third co-host of New Shooter Canada. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. Thanks for asking me to be the third host.
Well, we're really looking forward to having your input as from being a woman and as a new shooter. So I think you have a lot to offer and a lot to bring to the show.
Thanks. I think, I am a new shooter and I am a woman last time I checked. So I'm thinking.
And you'll class up the joint.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need some classing up.
I don't know if I'll do that, but maybe.
So what we did in guns, I'm going to go first because mine's the shortest. I went camping.
Yeah, yours is the shortest. It's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 letters.
Yep.
That's it.
George, colon, space, camping. I went camping. Actually, I did find out something interesting. For those that have trunk guns, I was at Fanshawe Conservation Area, which is a conservation area attached to London, and I actually had taken my rifle out of my car because I had to bring it up to my place for cleaning, which I hadn't done, so I thought, you know what, I'll take it camping with me and, you know, spend the afternoon, strip it, clean it, and for whatever reason just didn't bring it. Looking through their list of rules and fines and such, mere possession of a firearm is a $180 fine. Just the possession of it inside the conservation area. So if I had actually taken my rifle, well, normally it rolls around in my trunk all the time. Luckily, I took it out, but then I was going to take it with me to clean it. $180 I could have been fined. No. So
I've never seen that before.
You know, I've never. I normally go to provincial parks. I don't go to conservation areas. It was a last-minute camping trip idea, and so we just Fanshawe's like it's basically inside the city, right? So
yeah.
It's super close. So if anyone has trunk guns, and you're going to be going, even if you're going for like a day trip to the beach at a conservation area, might be something you want to make sure you're aware of, because you know, a conservation officer is going by as you're getting the beach gear out of the trunk and sees a gun case, boom, the one in London here is $180.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So.
Well, it's a conservation area, right?
Yeah. So other than that, drink a bunch of whiskey. Oh, which is another thing, May 2-4 is supposed to be a dry weekend. So I can't bring my guns into the conservation area because that's $180, but I can bring my whiskey, so. Drank lots of whiskey, played a ton of badminton, and spent a lot of time with my girls and my girlfriend, and good times were had.
A lot of the conservation areas are still dry on May 2-4 weekend, like Sybil's Point and some of the ones around here. You're not allowed to bring any alcohol into the park on the May 2-4 weekend.
That wasn't the case at Fanshawe, though?
No, last year was the first year they dropped it. And this is what the girl was telling me when we were registering. Mm. She goes, well, we're not stupid, and, you know, it's the middle of the day, it's supper time, and everyone's drinking, and she's doing air quotes, coffee out of their travel mugs.
Yes.
She goes, so we're not stupid. Even though we have the ban, people are still bringing it in. She goes, so last year we got rid of the ban, nothing happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've dropped it completely. So.
Well, yeah, people started, and they just made sure that they poured stuff into cups, so they didn't, like, we did the same thing. Just make sure you didn't have beer bottles on the table when the conservation area came by, or you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
But no shooting this weekend.
No I didn't even get my rifle cleaned. So I still got to clean my rifle.
Well, I went shooting. I actually got to the range for a change.
Say it isn't so.
I did. I finally had a chance to sight in my Marlin XT-22 Magnum today. The microgroove rifling on that the Marlin Rimfires makes it the most accurate factory rifle on the market. I've got 10-22s, I've got Remingtons, and as far as accuracy is concerned, nothing touches the Remingtons or the Marlins out of the box. I was really, really impressed with it. And the adjustable trigger has lightened up nicely after putting 100 rounds downrange, so I'm really happy with the trigger pull now. But the accuracy, I'm telling you, I was getting bullets going through the same hole at 50 yards with a quarter-inch group at 100 yards with the new Hornady 30 grain VMAX rounds. These things are the fastest 22 mags I've seen around. It's a full metal jacket with a polymer tip, but the muzzle velocity on these for 22 Magnum is 2,200 feet per second. And even at 100 yards, it's still going 1421 per second. And out to 200 yards, it's still going over 1,000 feet per second. So I think this round's going to be perfect for coyote hunting. And I got to play with a rifle today that Kelly would just love. It's the Beretta 9mm carbine. It comes in I never realized it comes in two variations. You can get it where it runs on Beretta 92 mags. And if you're a Glock hater like me, you can get it with Glock mags. So that's one of the reasons I didn't want to get it. I thought it ran just on Glock mags, but you can also get it set up on the Beretta mag. So I'm seriously looking at this thing. It was full ambi controls, magazine, bolt release, everything was identical. Even on the near the recoil pad on the back, it had slings, the web sling adjustments on each side, so you could carry it on a single point sling on either left-handed or right-handed. Plus, it had the regular studs in the front and the back. It came with a tri-rail. You can make it left or right-handed. You can take the bolt handle, switch it around to the other side, and you can take the extractor and the ejector and switch it around. And I was shooting this thing with the biggest red dot I've ever seen in my life. It was, I think it was called a Gilmore. And I bet you the tube on it, it was bigger than a 30mm tube. I bet you the tube on this thing was 50mm. It's the biggest red dot I've ever seen in my life. And at 25 yards, the red dot was just about covering the black on the bull, and I still was able to put 9 out of 10 shots at 25 yards with this massive red dot on this thing. And it's short. It's a short little rifle. It'd be perfect for a younger person, like a young teenager or a short-statured woman, but it also has you can get adjustments to make the length of pull even longer. So it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. So I might be thinking about getting myself a Beretta carbine down the road.
It's really cool looking. I just pulled up a picture of it.
It's really good. It comes with fully adjustable sights, but there's a full rail on the top, so you can put whatever optics you want on it. Mm-hmm. And I just like the fact that everything was fully ambi. You could switch everything around. And it's short. It's probably, you know how short the stocks are in our 10-22s? It's that, mm-hmm. that kind of short, so it's a little bit small for us. So it's perfect for youth or for younger women. They tend to be a little bit smaller, but you can get the spacers. So I'm seriously looking at one. What'd you do with guns in this week, Kelly?
So I did a few things. I actually went and picked up a pellet rifle so that I could use my firing house because of the fact that I still don't have that off. Get processed, but I just don't have it. I can't actually have any guns in the house.
What kind of pellet rifle did you get?
Actually, I don't know what it is. It's something that I got from my father. I think it must be, it looks like it's about 50 years old, and it's heavy as can be, but it's one of the ones that has the side lever on it to pump it, to pump the air into it. So I actually have no idea what it is, but I figure I can use it to work on my my dry fire and also just with practicing my trigger pull as well. So yeah, and also just my transitioning as well. I thought I could use that with helping with my transition from standing to sitting to prone, right?
That's a good idea.
George was talking about his rifle last week, so I thought I should mine. So I stripped down on Friday. I actually took everything off of it, and I cleaned it all up. And it hasn't been actually cleaned since Appleseed or before Appleseed, so it really needed it. It was quite dirty. So and then I put it all back together. But because of the fact that I took the sights and everything off, I go and actually zero this morning. We spent about 4 hours at the range today. It took a time, and that I did it from the prone position as opposed to from the bench. So it took a little bit to do, but I'm happy with it now. So
why did you take
now,
this?
Now, I wonder if you're going to get all the fury and flack that I got when I made the same statement. I took my scope off to clean my gun. Oh, my goodness. I didn't. For the next week, I got messages after messages. Why are you touching your scope? Don't touch
your scope. Why did you take your scope off?
Why? Because I actually, in order to actually, the only way that you could actually clean it was either put I couldn't actually effectively clean it unless they took it apart. And to take it apart, I had to take actually the rail off. And the scope has to come off, right?
No.
Well,
you're just as bad as George.
I took it all apart.
You don't have to, because once you with those the scope mount on the 1022, usually you left the scope mount on, I hope, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you put
that wasn't a very convincing yes.
Yeah. But
a lot of times will happen with the scope mount, even if you put Loctite in there, sometimes the solvent will actually loosen up the screw holes on the scope mount. And sometimes you actually may have to if it loosens up, you may have to take it off to tighten it back down again. But once you've got the optic on there, you don't have to take it off. It always stay on. That just saves you the hassle of re-zeroing every time.
Now, but when I started to actually, so here's the deal. I haven't cleaned this rifle before. And so I asked Kevin, I said, how am I going to clean it? He goes, you have to take it all apart. So I listened to him.
Okay, that's an honest mistake.
Hey, you know, instead of
Now, when you cleaned it, did you use a cleaning rod or did you use a bore snake?
I used a bore snake.
Okay. That's the problem with the 1022s, because you can't physically clean it from the back. Bore snake is a good quick fix for cleaning it.
Yeah.
But you really don't get a cleaning, and a lot of particles just get through the bore over and over again. Mm-hmm. So bore snake's a good, you know, quick, but it doesn't do a thorough job. What I've done, and a lot of people do with their 1022s, is that you get a cleaning rod. Now, because you shouldn't be cleaning it from the muzzle, because you will damage the crown, what you do is just take the bolt out and just run a cleaning rod through the barrel till it attaches the back of the receiver, and just mark where it's touching on the receiver. And then drill a hole through the back of the receiver a little bit bigger than the cleaning rod. Then you can clean the bore through the receiver by just drilling that hole in it.
Okay. Yeah, I had no hole. I took it all apart.
It happened. I gave George crap because he does. Every time he cleans his rifle, he takes his scope apart. Then he has to go to the range and set his scope in every time.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
I usually just – what I do if I'm cleaning my 1022, I usually just cover the scope up of a piece of towel or something, and I'll just cover it so I don't get solvent and everything on it, and I'll just get up to the top with the toothbrush and clean the inside of the receiver with the toothbrush and everything.
Well, after our last go at it, I went and dug out my because my scope came with lens caps, so now I've gone back to using those again.
Well, that's why George was taking his scope off, because he didn't want to get the solvent on the lens cap. Well, Kelly just followed the instructions, take everything off, so she did.
I did. It's actually good because I got to see the parts and things like that, right? Because, again, I'm a shooter.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad idea because you didn't actually put it all together. Kevin put it together. Right? So now you know how it comes apart and how it goes back together. So the next time you can do it.
Right. But it was a lot of work.
That's one of the boring things.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard time to book it.
No. And it was really fun. Yeah. It needed it.
It's all the butter blown up sugar, so you can't stick it to
I wouldn't suggest doing the George method of oil.
More oil, more smoke.
First five rounds, I'm like, oh, I'm shooting black powder.
Well, Barstall worked as a quick fix. Like if you don't have time to clean it, a little bit of lubrication in the back and a bore snake will do the trick to keep it running, because you're 1020. I was worried that at Maple Seed. I was worried that it was getting gummed up with all the cold weather and all the crap that was getting in there.
But Appleseed?
Appleseed. I keep seeing Appleseed. It's George's fault because he has Appleseed on the brain.
I know.
I haven't said it once on the show yet.
Okay.
We just said it three times now.
No, you said it, and I've said it.
Oh, yeah, but George hasn't actually said
George
it.
George hasn't said it yet.
George has not used the words yet.
Yeah. Right, so your suggestion is don't take the 10, 22 hours. Drill a hole in.
No, take it apart, but leave the optics on.
Okay.
And you're still going to have to take two kits out to take the trigger mechanism out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do a thorough cleaning, bore snake's a good quick fix, but you're not going to get all the fouling out of the bore with a bore snake. Your best bet is to actually use a cleaning rod and then drill a hole in the back of the receiver so you can run the cleaning rod through. And that way you get a nice copper brush in there and like get quite a few swaps and get it.
Does the barrel not separate from the receiver?
It does, but you don't want to be doing that either.
No.
Because then you have to reattach the barrel.
I do that all the time with mine. Well, I don't have a 1022, but it's just a little clip.
With the 1022, it's a V-clamp. So if you put it back on and you tighten it, torque the screws at different pressure than what you originally had, your barrel could drift a little bit to the left or the right. You're better off just to leave the barrel on the gun at all times.
Oh, I strip it right
now. Well, yours is different. Yours has a little clip, right? But even taking the barrel off could you're not going to realign it 100%. I never take the barrel off. I'm actually putting a new barrel on it. Because it's clamped on there with Loctite, so it's meant not to come off unless I have to take it off.
Huh.
I wouldn't take the barrel off. I wouldn't suggest it. If anything, I know Ken was talking about, he wants to build... he wants to do a screw-in barrel, a permanent Loctite barrel for a 1022. That's the advantage of the 1022, is that if you want to change barrels, you can take the barrel. You can. You can get whatever you want. Just an Allen key, but I wouldn't be taking it off for cleaning every time. I find just putting a hole in the back of the receiver just suffices for cleaning.
Well, I'll talk to Kevin about that. It's his gun, technically.
You can say, Tom suggested that you drill a hole to line up with the board.
He's going to say,
Tom said, what? No, you tell Tom to drill his own guns.
You just drill a hole a little bit bigger than the cleaning rod. Okay. That way you can clean it from the breech to the muzzle.
All right.
Most people do. Look at that. I believe Toby and Tom have both done that to theirs. And Stacy's done that to her gun, too.
Did she?
Yeah. She's going to hold back the drill for cleaning.
Okay. All right. So, shall we move on to the stories in the news?
Sure. Guns in the news this week. Well, I guess I'm up first this week.
Take her away, Tom.
I'm supposed to be moving you guys along, right?
Sure. That's what the class
is for. Let's go with that.
Well, guns in the news this week. I guess most of us, Canada's only gun magazine, Caliber, has some really good articles in it this month. And if you haven't had a chance to read a copy, most gun shops do carry them, or you can contact them at www.calibermagazine.ca to order a subscription. Price they had listed is $30 a year, or you can step up your game and spend $45 and join the CSSA, because if you belong to the CSSA, you get the magazine for free. So we can do either or. If you don't belong to the CSSA and you want the magazine, you join the CSSA and you get it for free. There's a great article in there about the Marlin rifles after the Remington takeover. And there has been a noticeable difference in the Marlin quality after the takeover. Mine 1894, I had problems with the factory. It was so stiff you couldn't work action. The lifting gate was loading the cartridge properly into the chamber and was scoring the whole top of the chamber putting it in. The Marlin 1894 has a two-piece firing rod or firing pin. It would fire my soft factory, my federal primer on my reloads. It would only fire half of the rounds of the Hornady Leverutians I put through them. So from the start, I had problems with it. My friend Jim, not JT, another JT, he had a brand new 336 from the factory, stainless steel barrel, took to the range three or four times, couldn't sight it in, sent it back to Remington, or Marlin at the time, and the barrel was warped. So he ended up getting a new gun out of the deal. But there was rumors running abundant about people were accusing disgruntled employees of sabotaging the equipment and shipping up substandard equipment. While it's true that the Marlin quality did drop to unacceptable levels, it was not due in fault to unhappy employees. Even before Remington took over the Marlin warranty, service in the U.S. was really bad for sending parts to Canada. My gunsmith, who at one time was the only authorized Marlin Repair Center out here, he severed ties with Marlin because he refused to perform any warranty work. He would order parts. He would have to wait 6 to 9 months for parts to come in, and he had enough with dealing with the rude staff at when he called the complaint, so he got rid of them all together. I'm just going to read you just a little bit of excerpt from the magazine, just because it explains what was happening when Remington took the transition from Marlin. Basically, in the area of computer-aided design and CNC machines, Marlin rifles were still being turned out by hand on 60-year-old machines. According to Remington, conditions in the factory were so appalling that its staff had to build sheet metal dams around the old precious machinery to contain the ever-leaking fluids. Furthermore, and perhaps more telling, Remington could find no dimensional drawings for any firearms being produced. The precise methods by which Marlin had been building some of the most popular rifles on Earth had literally been passed down from generation to generation without a single pen touching on paper. So they had no blueprints for any of these guns. So not surprisingly, the combination of old machinery and hands-on manufacturing process wasn't sustainable, and Remington was forced or faced with the task of increased efficiency in order to keep up with the Marlin production. The decision was made to abandon the New Haven factory and move production to Ilion, New York, and Mayfield, Kentucky, where the Marlin production could restart under the Remington brands. Unfortunately, but not surprising, many of the Marlin product production staff did not follow the company to New York. Furthermore, all the Remington initially tried to transplant, like all the machines they tried to transplant, had literally sunk into the old plant floor. When installed in the modern factory in New York, many of the old machines were performing even slower than they had in Connecticut, and the entire process was hampered by almost entirely new production staff that had never built a lever-action rifle before, because most of the staff didn't want to come when they changed cities. The result was nothing short of catastrophic for Marlin. Rifles went from being considered one of the last bastions of old-world American craftsmanship to being despairingly known as remnants, and that reflected their various gremlins and perceived causes. So what Marlin did, Remington had to go out, re-blueprint all the machines, and set up all new CNC machine, and it took them quite a while to get production back up to standards. So it wasn't the fact of the employees being disgruntled and destroying things. The factory was more or less destroyed when they took over it, and they just could not produce the rifles into the same quality that were once handmade. So from what I understand, they also do a review of the 1895, the 4570, and it seems like Marlin has the guns running up in production, and the new guns, they give it a half decent review. It's getting better. So if you're looking for a Marlin lever action, the quality has started to return. And there's still a good value for the dollar if you're looking for a lever gun. And Kelly, what is story two for today?
Story two, you might have seen it either on Facebook or in the newspapers. This one is an article that came out in the National Post. It's in regards to British government, so the Conservatives have put in the 167-page omnibus bill, budget bill last week about the... let's just read it. The Harper government moved to retroactively rewrite Canada's access to information law in order to prevent possible criminal charges against the RCMP, the Canadian press has learned. An unheralded change spurred in last week's 167-page omnibus bill exempted all records from the defunct Long Gun Registry, and also any request, complaint, investigation, application, judicial review, appeal, or other proceedings under the Access to Information Act or the Privacy Act related to those records. The unprecedented retroactive changes access to information experts liken them to erasing the national memory. And even more are even more odd because they are backdated to the day the Conservatives introduced legislation to kill the gun registry, and not to when the bill was had received royal assent. So basically what that means is they backdated it to when it was introduced as opposed to when it was actually passed. The date effectively alters history to make an old government bill come into force months before it actually passes by Parliament. A spokesperson or spokesman for Public Safety Minister Stephen Blaney would only say the retroactive law will fix a bureaucratic loophole that allows citizens to request heavily redacted copies of the gun registry data while the legislation to destroy the data was before Parliament. So basically what it's saying is basically the Conservatives have actually hidden in the omnibus bill, or the budget, basically the ability to backdate. We all thought, well, actually, I don't know, were you guys thinking that once the long gun registry was gone, it'd be gone?
I figured all the information would be deleted, but I'm sure there's copies of it floating around someplace.
I pretty much thought that there'd still be copies of it someplace.
Not only did I think there'd be copies, I knew there would be copies. Well, I guess I couldn't say I knew, but I strongly suspected there would be copies, and they would be used, and... See, the problem is they can use it as kind of a sign marker, right? But they get into that slippery slope of, well, how did you know Mr. Jones had said rifles?
Right.
So then they got to be able to answer that. So I knew they would, I suspected they would have kept it and used it. To what degree, I didn't know.
Well, that's not to mention all the CFO logbooks that are still in existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still record, well, they record, currently they only record restricted firearms in the logbooks, but the logbooks do not belong to the gun stores, they belong to the CFO. So they still have hard copies of everybody in the past who's bought any restricted or non-restricted firearm. And it's the CFO is supposed to go back and erase the articles from anybody that purchased non-restricted. So can you see the CFO Ontario actually spending the manpower to have a whole staff of a dozen people go through old log books for the past 20 years? No.
I was just surprised when it was actually, one, hidden in the bill, but two, that the date on it was backdated to when it was actually introduced as opposed to when it actually passed, right?
Yeah. I'm not... These omnibus bills. If
say it 10 times fast.
I'm not. Yeah.
And
are they not just basically a massive collection of a whole bunch of bills that they want to pass? Like, is that why it's called omnibus?
Well,
so
it sounds like it.
To say that it was, to say that if it was buried in, well, yeah, but so were probably 100 other bills they were.
That's like, actually. But what it is, are we getting into politics here?
Was it a part of the budget?
It was part of the budget. It was in the budget. It was in the budget bill. So when, you know,
so why would something like that be in the budget bill? Like that's what kind of throws a flag up to me.
It's politics. It's politicians. That's what they do.
They hide.
It's the same thing the Liberals did in '98. They backdated legislation in 1995, thereby prohibiting and confiscating thousands of now prohibited firearms. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it went through law in 98, they pushed it back to 95. So anybody had possession, and they people took them to court, and they lost.
It's, I don't know. It's just hiding things in, it's not good.
No, and it shouldn't be done this way.
No.
So what else is in the news, George?
All right, so... Now that explosive targets are now legal in Canada and are becoming more widely available, the Tannerite brand has some competition. In the binary exploding rifle target market in Canada, a new 100% Canadian made product called Thundershot is now available from Gryphon.
Griffin.
Energetics. The retail pricing seems to be around $10.99 for a pound, for a 1 pound canister. Now, just a friendly reminder that exploding targets are not range approved in the province of
Ontario.
on terrible, Thomas's word. Please check with your local please check with your local provincial CFO, who are probably going to tell you no, and your club's executive, who are probably going to tell you no.
Right.
Because using this product, before using this product on any range, because nobody wants to let us have any funds, because they're all a bunch of FUDs. Anyways, that little commentary was my addition, not written down. So Ammo Supply is now selling 24 one-pound cans with a box of American Eagle 20-222 cartridges to detonate your targets for, drumroll, $239.
Actually, it's 223, not 222. But yeah, they're even throwing the boxes shells to detonate the targets. I thought that was pretty cool.
223. I don't read so
And I think it's dyslexic. I think it's the same price as Tannerite.
General but you can't use Tannerite either.
Yes.
I've got nowhere to shoot it, so I've never looked into it.
Yes, you can use Tannerite. It's been approved.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got approved about last year.
Yeah, going on about six months ago. First time I heard about it was on Slamfire.
Yeah, because Press Checks Venture is selling it, and Matthew had some videos out of them test firing it. Because it says in order to ignite it, the projectile has to be doing over 2,000 feet per second, so 22s weren't setting it off, and you have to do at least a 223 to set it off.
Now, how far away from that stuff do you have to be when you shoot at it? Do you know? I've never shot Tannerite. I've seen videos of it. I know it goes.
I'm sure there's a safe warning listed on the packaging. Like, I'd want to be at least. Well, depend.
Like, would 50 yards be far enough away?
I guess if you're not blowing up something on top of it, I'd want to be at least 50 yards away.
The neighbor's cat.
That would do it.
They say 100 yards. I just looked it up.
100 yards.
100 yards.
Jar says 100 yards.
I've never played with any yet.
Neither have I.
But $11 a target, well, that's not too bad, I guess. Be great if you want to take down a small tree.
Now, I'm not recommending this, but I'm sure there's, you know, all sorts of information out on Google on how to make your own Tannerite, I'm sure.
Well, it's two separate agents have to be combined. When it's shipped, it's two separate containers. And they have to be combined to make the binary target, and it can't be just dropped. It needs the percussion and the velocity that much. You just can't throw it in the ground and it'll go off. It has to. It can only be set off with a high powered projectile. But actually, Slamfire Matthew has some videos on where he blows up some water jugs and tries to ignite it with different type of projectiles and stuff. Because I think him and Owen are involved with Adventures, and they're actually selling it now.
Oh, that's cool. And I think his YouTube channel is what, Matt?
Yeah, he's got a couple. If you haven't seen Matt's video channel, go check him out. He's got some very funny videos on there. My favorite one is when they were doing the listener build for Reload Radio. And he gets his lower in the mail. And he's slowly opening the box to his lower receiver. And that one is a good chuckle. That's really good. And then, of course, they had one video out where they're shooting TV tubes on a friend's range, and
is that the one they got in trouble for?
Yeah, apparently the range got shut down after they blew up the TVs. But
really,
well, it wasn't actually their fault for doing it. The range wasn't up to code anyway, so the CFO shut them down. But the videos of them shooting on the range, I think, kind of caught some attention. So I don't think they were directly responsible for it being shut down till it was up to code, but it brought some attention to the club.
See, again, no one lets us have fun.
You've never blown up a TV tube? They blow up real good.
No. My dad got, I think it was a 36-inch Sol tube TV, like 10 years ago now. And this thing's a beast, and it's in his basement. And I told him, like, we barely got it down the stairs. And I said, this thing is coming out in pieces. We're taking a sledgehammer to this tube, and it's coming out in pieces. I am not carrying this effing TV back up those stairs.
Oh, they're pressurized. You want to be really careful if you're going to break a tube like that.
I'll let him. He's old. He ain't got many years left.
They go boom when you drop them. I used to work at Sony.
Just
don't drop it.
Wow. realistically, we're not going to smash the two.
One of my sister had just the same type of TV and a big wooden console, and she lived in a co-op on the third story. And it just about killed us taking the stupid TV up there. It was so heavy. I've got one of these flat screens now. I bet you the thing doesn't weigh more than 20 pounds.
Oh, I know. I love those things. Oh, dog's about to start barking.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the howling to start because the fireworks, I can hear fireworks going.
Oh, we should have done a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. We're all dog owners and it's fireworks night, so.
Mine's well, right, snoring on the couch.
Actually, it's my, hey sweetheart, my oldest, good, I'm just kind of right in the middle of a show.
My dog's just laying here in the bed.
Say hi to everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
So that's my daughter.
It's going to be the fourth co-host.
Coming home.
Oh, that's a teenager.
Yeah, the teenager.
She should join us for the next section. Girls and guns.
Well, that's not the one that likes to shoot. It's the middle one that likes to shoot, isn't it?
No, my youngest one. My oldest one likes to shoot, but it gets in the way of the boyfriend. Time with the boyfriend.
That happens.
Yeah, that does.
I had one of my junior shooters, Maddie lives across the street from me, and she used to shoot with me every week until she was about 12 or 13. Then she discovered boys. We haven't been shooting since.
Yeah. And my middle daughter doesn't like the noise, so she wants nothing to do with guns at all. She likes archery, though, so, it's kind of a cousin to shooting, so. And then my youngest loves handguns. She doesn't like rifles anymore. It's all about the handguns.
So our main topic this week.
Girls with guns. Woohoo!
Ooh, I like it. One of my favorite things.
All right. So I guess because of the fact that I'm the new co-host and I'm a girl and I have guns, we're going to talk about girls with guns. Yeah.
Yeah, you qualify.
So
funny how that works out.
I was reading, actually, I was trying to find something, and I was able to find an article in an American newspaper, not Canadian, but actually, I'll read it because it's actually pretty true. So, a decade or more ago, it wasn't uncommon to think of women in the gun store as the exception rather than the rule. Today, girls with guns make up roughly 23% of all gun owners, and that number is steadily on the rise. Since more and more women are enjoying gunnership, it isn't uncommon to hear of the occasional frustration some women have when doing business with their local firearm store. One of the most common complaints is the women often are ignored by sales personnel. If girls with guns arrive with a male companion, very often the male will be approached by the sales personnel, who don't even seem to notice a female with them. Another frequent complaint is that when they finally do notice a shopping for a firearm, they happily suggest a revolver, as it is perfect because it is easier to handle, and assuming that a female can't rack a slide or quickly or effectively clear malfunctions, and therefore they'd be better off with a revolver. And some think of that as a huge insult. Many gun stores are taking advantage of the fact that female gun ownership is on the rise, and a few of them have a tiny section in their stores expressly for things that are pink. You can have your fill of pink guns, pink range bags, pink accessories, and pink t-shirts. Many girls with guns avoid this section like the plague. It's bad enough that some store personnel already see women as inferior customers to our male counterparts. The last thing a woman want to do is validate that with a cutesy pink purchase. Okay, so what do you guys think?
Okay. I've heard on the pink issue, I've heard this on other podcasts many of times, and I get where the women are coming from, but again, I think it's a way men associate women with pink. So I think it's a way that a male-dominated industry is trying to reach out to women, and it's coming across as a little condescending. So
it can be.
You know,
it can be. There are girls that actually like pink. But I find it's not the younger ones. At my club, there's a couple older girls that like to shoot, and they like the fact they can actually get pink headsets for a change, and pink stuff for gear, and pink grips for the guns, because they've never been able to get it before. So the older girls kind of like having it for a change. I find the younger shooters, it's kind of insulting. You give me pink because I'm a girl. It sort of works both ways.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what, I think you nailed it right there. There's a difference. Are you giving them the pink because they're girls, or are you providing a pink option because they're girls? I think that's where the difference is. My youngest daughter, every weekend I have her. So, the pink handgun, eh? Don't forget about the pink handgun. It's the exact same gun that she shoots with my dad, but she wants the pink one. It's got to be pink. You know, Wanda wants me to get her own hearing protection, and she wants pink camo. You know, so there is a market for it, but I think it's just a matter of, you know, if the culture has been kind of condescending towards the woman to begin with, and now you're throwing pink at them,
yeah,
I could see why they would be a little miffed at it. I would be a little.
Well, you're not a pink person. You're not a pink person, Kelly. You don't like pink.
No,
ones, do
I'm
you?
Not pink. No.
Do you own anything pink?
So,
trying to think hard. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I'm not a pink girl. I'm not a pink girl. I'm not into the pink camo. I'm not. No. And pink handguns. No. Pink rifles. I can see where, yeah, you know what, there are some girls that would actually go for it, and they're both, you know, the young, like, I can see, especially, like George said, his daughter is really into the pink. My sister, when we went out and we went shooting with my sister, she was right into pink, too. And then there's the, you know, ladies that have been shooting for a while, and they're all excited about getting the pink and that too. But if you're marketing especially towards women just to, yeah, I think it's a great option. I think that if, you know, if you want a pink, or if you want purple, or if you want green or red, then go for it. But just because it's a girl and marketing pink towards her, no, I don't think that.
Like, I can see, like, the accessories. Like I was saying, like, I know my friend Barb, she was very ecstatic that she could get pink hearing protection or pink grips for her guns. But when you have these manufacturers like Taurus that go out and purposely design a gun where they think that it's going to appeal to the woman, and they make this really crappy little pink gun. Charter Arms make these really cheap revolvers, and they make them pink and flashy, hoping that a new shooter will buy them. And it's actually the worst gun that the new shooter could even get in the first place, but they put all this flashy color on it to make it sell, and then it doesn't work for the shooter anyway.
I kind of liken it to going to go and get your car fixed, right?
I was just thinking that.
Right? Yep.
It's exactly what it's like.
You walk in, and if you're a female, you know, they don't think that you know what you're talking about or doing. So anyway, so if you go into the gun store. So that being said, I'm hoping at some point within the next week or two to have an interview with my local gun store. Actually, it's a husband and wife team, and I'm actually hoping to get the wife on to actually make recommendations for females. Yes, females. Females generally, like, I'm pretty big for a woman. I have big hands. I have I'm tall. I have long arms and that as well. So for me, I can actually fit into a gun that's manufactured for a man. But some women will have to actually have something that's smaller and that. And just to, as you said, Thomas, you know, if they make something and it's inferior and try and market to the women, I don't think that's cool at all.
No,
right?
No. It's getting better wise out in the industry. I've noticed you see a lot of women now working in the sporting goods stores. Mm-hmm. Accuracy Plus has two girls. It's a husband and wife, and I think the sister-in-law works in there too. So there's two girls running the store. And then up in I was giving plugs to Williams Arms because I really like the store. They have Bear. She's working up there. She's a very knowledgeable shooter, and she could probably outshoot Trevor with a 44 Magnum because that's her thing. She loves her Model 29. Oh. And the thing I've noticed up there at that store, a lot of times I've been there when couples come in, And the staff, say, you know, a young couple comes in, the staff purposely asks the woman first, "So what are you looking for today?" And those 9 out of 10 times they'll say, "No, I'm with him." And but the odd, you know, that 1%, they'll say, "Well, I'm looking for this," because mm-hmm. the staff up there know that they have a lot of women customers, so they don't treat gender specific. If they see a couple come in, especially Bear or John himself, he will address the woman first before the man,
right.
just to feel out the customer base, which is a good thing to do.
Yeah, I actually went into SFRC. That's where I usually go. And I was talking to Marcy, and I asked her if she'd be on the show, and she said she would. But I asked her about what percentage of women are coming in, the shooters, and all that. And she said that they're seeing quite a few more. It's mainly under the age of 35 that they see for females purchasing, but you know, there are some older ladies as well. I'd be in that category. that are
purchasing. You're only 35, right?
That's right. Anyways, yeah, okay. So that are purchasing for themselves as well. That morning, actually, it was Saturday morning, there was a woman that came in, and she actually came in to do her own shopping for herself and left the husband at home. And she ended up purchasing a gun for her husband as well, and said he'll like it. She was going to take it home and he'll like it.
Or he better like it.
Or he better like it as well, yeah. So it was quite funny because she actually left him at home with the kids and she came to the gun store to buy some buy a rifle.
I like her already.
That was kind of funny. But yeah. Marcy said she'd be happy to point out some stuff for the new shooter that's female that might, you know,
there's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's one of those Bloomberg anti-gun groups down in the States, Mums Against Gun or Mums for Gun Control or something silly like that. And whenever I see women at the range shooting, my daughter's being interested, Wanda's interested, the more women that get interested and we create an environment that they're going to want to be a part of, mm-hmm. meaning get rid of a lot of that old boys club mentality crap. It's only going to work out for the better, because it's going to be hard to get some sort of Canadian mums for gun control when we've got a whole ton of Canadian mums that are gun owners going, I own these things, my family's safe. There's not, like, in the long run, it only helps the industry and the sport. So
yeah,
make everything pink.
Make everything pink. No. No.
Pink for everyone.
No. All right. Hey, you buy a pink gun, I'll buy one.
If I am buying a pink gun.
No. Thomas, you buy a pink gun, I'll buy one.
Like I've said on this show for the last bunch of weeks, if buying a pink handgun is gonna keep my daughter on fire for guns, I'm gonna be the loudest, proudest pink gun owner in the world. And you know what, I'm more than secure in my manhood that I will happily own a pink handgun.
So what's keeping her interested? Sorry, Thomas, but what's keeping her interested besides a pink handgun?
She just likes handguns.
Well, your dad has the same gun.
Yeah.
But she just likes
pink.
Well,
she's a girl. She's a little princess. She likes all things princess. Which, guns don't really fit in with the princess image, but, you know, if those darn Disney princesses were concealed carrying, they wouldn't be in the troubles they get into. I'm telling you.
You're kidding. It's Disney that's made us, given us half the anti-gun people after their Bambi movies.
I'm just making a joke. If Snow White could have busted out a Glock and took down, who was Snow White's nemesis?
Evil Queen, wasn't it?
The witch or something, wasn't it? The
Maleficent. That's not how you pronounce it. I can't pronounce it.
Anyways, if that's what it's going to take, if pink is going to appeal to women and get them interested in shooting, then I'm all for it. If, you know, there's plenty of other non-pink accessories and stuff already for women like yourself, Kelly, that are like, yeah, pink is not for me.
Well,
actually, I don't mind muddy, you know.
Muddy camo,
that much. You know, hey, you know, jazz can make it look good.
Well, with Sticks, it had the muddy camo.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kelly's a very small percentage of new shooters. especially females, because she's a tall girl. So when she goes to the store, most things, whether it's pink or not, are going to fit her.
Yep.
And she's having the same problem I am with our 1022 socks. It's great for a small statured person. It's terrible for somebody that's almost 6 foot because it's so small. So it doesn't matter what the color is. As long as you can get them to fit properly, I don't care if it's pink. I would buy a J.R. Carbine in Muddy Camel Pink if it would get a young girl interested in shooting.
Yep. Yeah, that's my views too. But, you know, but like Kelly was saying, and the article says, kind of brings that out too, right? In the past, it's been, you're a little girl, here, have this revolver, because those boys' guns are just a little too sophisticated for you. And that was kind of the mentality, right?
True, so yeah, it was. It's changing, at least.
Now that it's coming out with the pink, the women are kind of feeling that same kind of condescension, right? Oh, well, you're a pretty little girl, so here's a pretty little pink gun for you. And it's like, you know, some women are like, piss on you.
Yeah, it's kind of condescending.
Yeah. So, but I think, because I've heard that quite often from a lot of American podcasts, that a lot of the women down in the States don't like the whole pink rage. But, you know, I get it. I totally get it. But I think the pink rage is what's going to get a lot of those new female shooters to the range, because a lot of girls like pink.
Yeah, well, I think they're like your daughter's age, and that it'll hook them. If it was pink and sparkly, that'd be even better.
Ooh, sparkles, oh,
yeah.
Yes.
If we could find some way to put rhinestones on it.
Woo! Bedazzle it.
You could bedazzle the grips.
Yeah.
So, take pictures of that. Like, take pictures of it. Take the pictures to school and see how long that lasts at school with pictures of a bedazzled gun in front of her schoolmates before they send her home.
I'm brand new to the gun culture too, not quite as new as Kelly, but I haven't even renewed my license yet, so I'm still within my first 5 years, and a lot of this old boys club stuff is kind of foreign to me as well, because I don't see it. Like my local gun shop, I don't see that. Like, the guys there are really good. They've got a woman working there. So I've never been exposed. So I have a bit of a disconnect from that old world attitude to today, because I don't see it. But I've heard enough about it. So, like, I kind of get it.
I've seen it. So. Not up here, not recently, because I said the who I deal with, there's a woman in the stores. So and they're a regular female or customer base for the store, too. So you don't really see that, but I've seen it in LeBaron's. I've seen it at Carrie and I went to Cabela's.
And the bigger stores.
And the beer stores, I guess.
No, I said the bigger stores.
The bigger stores.
Yes.
Oh, I thought she said beer stores, too.
Yeah, I thought she said beer store. See, she's thinking of beer.
I'm like, I don't know. I've met some women that could probably drink me under the table with beer.
If it came in pink bottles, I wonder how many beer they'd sell.
So
we're not going there.
All right. So, Karen and I went to Cabela's in the manual chair, and she went up the counter, and you know, she took her ticket, and the guy, there was nobody there, and she's at the gun counter, and the girl or the guy was just ignoring her. She said, "Excuse me, I'd like to see that." She goes, in very condescending, he goes, "I'm sorry, dear, but you have to have a firearms license." And you know, she really mad, pulled her license, says, "I have a license and I have an ATT. Anything else?" And
that would have pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, big time. And then a couple years before that, my friend Kathy went to the, I think it was a Duck Unlimited banquet. They had, or the turkey, they had two prize tables set up, one for men, one for women. And Kathy's name kept getting drawn. So she went to the table with the guns because she's a hunter. And that's the attitude you got. "Oh, I'm sorry, dear, but you have to have a license to go to that table." She goes, "I do have a license." So she won one gun. And then her name got drawn again, and they tried to direct her to the prize table for the women. She goes, no, I'm going back to that table. I want the other gun." And that was the attitude. They didn't think the women should get the gun. They should get the pretty things that they spent all the stupid money on. And Kathy's like, no, I want that shotgun. I want that muzzle loader. And she got it. But you're still getting that attitude from some of the old fogies.
Yeah, it's too bad. But fortunately, they're the dying breed. I've been to the last two AGMs at my club, and they are the dying breed. there's young blood coming up, and it's it doesn't have a lot of the same old hang-ups that I hear, like that, those two that you just talked about.
You notice a lot of clubs nowadays, the directors and the president of my gun club is a woman. There's two women on the board of directors for the CSSA. We've got an NFA. I know what you've got, Erica, and you've got Darlene, who are board members. So you're seeing women a lot more active, not only in shooting sports, but running shooting sports. And the president of our club is a fantastic lady. She does a really good job. She's a real, she doesn't take up with any crap, but she does a great job running the club. I've been very happy with her. So it's nice to see women in positions that were stereotypically you wouldn't see them 20 years ago.
Yep. And we're breaking ground on this show. First female.
Yes, first
podcaster,
female that we know of.
Pro gun.
Now, are there any podcasts out west? I've never heard of any shows.
We talked about that, didn't we? That there was nothing out west.
But I'm old. I forget these things.
I don't know. I know there was Girls and Guns podcast down in the States, but I don't know how active it is. But I know in Canada, we got no pro gun female hosts, except for here on New Shooter Canada.
Woohoo!
Podcasting first, so we're very happy to have Kelly on the show.
We're blazing the trail.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
And we'll be no pink guns on this show.
There will be no pink guns. Maybe. Maybe if I find something I like. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just, you know, why market it? And I know why they're marketing it, too. I understand. Anyways, but that being said, things are changing, right? And
yep.
Kids are getting into it. Girls are getting into it. Look at Zazzle. Look at Sam I Am, right?
Look how active they are.
Yeah.
They're not just
I know.
They're actually out there. They're running the line. They're doing administration work.
Although, I have to say, my favorite was...
E-Squared?
What was that little girl?
Yeah.
E-Squared.
Oh, the Shoot Boss's granddaughter.
Yeah.
Whose
yeah.
gun is this? Scared the hell out of us.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved her. She was cute. So, all right. Well, I think that will do it. Any last thoughts on that topic?
Nope. Just saying. It's a good thing.
If it takes a pink gun to get your kid interested in shooting, get the pink gun. Don't buy a pink gun.
Women are people,
don't
too.
Don't buy the pink gun because you'll think she wants it. If she wants the pink gun, then let her get it. But don't buy it thinking that it would be, it'd be for her. Let them choose it if they want it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, closing comments.
All right.
Well, we're going to be posting some things on the Facebook page, so have a look at that. And we're even going to be doing surveys, see what you want to hear about on the show. And other than that, thanks for actually inviting me to be the third host, you guys.
I'm glad you accepted.
Yay, me too.
So am I.
Yay.
It was funny. I was thinking about it. So I actually ran it past Stacy. I said, look, I'm thinking about asking Kelly to be, and she thought it was a great idea. I said, okay. So I asked George, and George said,
I love how I'm the last one to know.
Well, I ran it by Stacy first. I was talking to her, and she said, I think it's a great idea. I think it'd be perfect having a girl as a new shooter. I said, okay. So I messaged you, and you said, let me think about it for a day. The next day, you said, yeah, okay. And then I messaged Kelly afterwards, and she said, let me think about it for a day. And then she messaged back and said, yeah, okay. But you each wanted to take a day to think about it. I was going crazy. Like, oh, come on, this is a great idea. I know it's going to work. I know it's going to work. I got to wait another day.
Yeah, you know.
So I'm glad you accepted. I think you're going to be a really important part of the show and provide some really valuable input to listeners.
Well,
and
I hope
keep
so.
Us two in line.
Okay. No.
Shout
I don't
out.
Know.
Well, I'm looking at our time, and I think we're about at the 1 hour mark.
Wow.
So.
I thought it'd be longer.
So that's good.
Okay.
Any emails or?
No, I haven't. I haven't checked iTunes, but no emails. So if you want to do your shoutouts, I'll double check the email. I've got no shoutouts for this week.
Do you want to go first, Tom, or do you want me?
I'll go first. Thanks to Colin and Remington for letting me try their Beretta carbine today. When I was sighting in the Marlin, Brett and Remington showed up and let me play with the gun. So shout out to those two for letting me play with the two toy. And now I don't want to get a Just Right carbine. Now I want a Beretta carbine. So thanks. And you had some shout outs, Kelly?
Yep. Well, actually, it's going out to Kevin because he's the one that got me into shooting. It took me to the ranges and that, and he took me to my first clinic, or basically Appleseed, and he also bought my first gun for me. So thanks, Kevin. And yep, I think you've created a monster, so thanks.
It's a good thing, and it's a good thing for us. So thank you too, Kevin, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have Kelly. I have one more shout out I forgot to mention to my coworkers. I got a sympathy card for the death of my dad, and I got a little under $200 for my coworker. So thanks, guys. You just covered my gas out to the charity shoot, so I appreciate it.
Yay.
I thought it was woo. Nice. I got handed the card. Yeah. Money! Wow!
Wow.
It was awfully nice. Though, so.
That was nice.
That's pretty cool. No emails. One thing I do want to mention is I'm using that Beretta CX-4 picture as the episode picture. So if anyone wants to see what it looks like, check out the website, or you'll see it up on Facebook when I post the show. And oh, I almost forgot this. My dad was bugging me to order him a new Shooter Canada jacket, so I'm gonna do probably some sort of clothing run. Now the way I have it set up is a little different than what the other podcasters do. They do silk screening. Mine's embroidery. So she's got my image on file, so I can stick that
sucker on anything.
Stick that on anything. Sweaters, jackets. All you gotta do is look at my Facebook page. I think I've got wearing everything all the time. I've got hats, I've got long sleeve t-shirts, I've got jackets, I've got hoodies.
So are they sending you the stuff or what's going on?
I've never done this before. Hmm. So I'm just putting it out there. So if you're interested in some article of clothing, don't email me thongs because I'm not going there. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's thought to be a smart aleck.
No.
Yeah.
No pink ones, please.
Email you.
Okay. Actually, I have a pink one.
Anyways. So send me an email at host@newshootercanada.ca if you're interested. I don't have any. My minimum is two pieces, and I think Wanda said she might buy something. My dad wants something, so I've got my minimum covered. If I don't, I'll buy something. So it's definitely going to be a go. I don't have a timeline. I'm going to see what kind of
Melissa actually
feedback I get. Interest.
She wanted a T-shirt or something if we do a run.
So why don't we talk about it and come up with something?
Well, the catalog actually that George uses, you can get anything with the logo on, not just a T-shirt. I got a windbreaker,
really?
And yeah. I think it was.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. If that's why I'm just putting it out there. Email the show what you're interested in. If you want a hoodie, we're getting into summer now, but if you want a hoodie, like any article of clothing, and then what I can do is I'll kind of collect the list up, and then I'll go to the embroidery shop and then talk to her and then get some samples like pictures or and stuff, and then we'll, I don't know, create a catalog on the website or something, and then people can order it that way or something.
The prices aren't that much more. I think the jacket was what, $30 for the windbreaker, or you can get hoodies or actually full jackets or vests or.
Yeah, I'd be careful with saying prices, though, because...
Oh, all depends on what you pick.
You got, like, cost...
All depends on what you pick.
You got cost pricing,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So...
Prices and are $30 to $100, depending on what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the other hitch in the rail is going to be shipping.
Shipping costs you almost as much as the T-shirt.
Yeah, so... So, and I've never done this before. So, first I'm going to find out what kind of interest there is. So, what are we, May 18th? So, I'll give it a couple weeks. So, beginning of June. So, you have till the beginning of June, and then I'll start hammering something out. and then I'll look into like shipping and all that sort of stuff and cost.
Shipping is ridiculous.
That,
I sent just the plastic backstrap probably only weighs a couple grams out to Mark Price, and I had to put it in an envelope. So the envelope and shipping was $15. And if I could have put it in a regular envelope, I would have. $15 just to ship within Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So the shipping costs are really astronomical.
Crazy.
I can see why Brian hates shipping costs. Because
mm-hmm.
it's going to cut away any margin that, if we do this, we're not making any money off it. But if you are getting a couple dollars off each shirt, the shipping will just kill you on anything anyways.
Well, yeah, and that'll be the next thing I have to figure out is how we do the shipping and that. So I know a whole bunch of people are going to the charity shoot, so that might be one option to pick them up at the charity
shoot. That's a month away, so it would take quite a miracle to get everything done by the charity shoot.
No, it'd be a couple weeks, mid June, I should be able to have them back within 2 weeks if I go in beginning of June with the order, and then the middle of June, have them done.
Then you need to drive them out to me.
So, yeah, because I gotta come out and pick up
the
22
anyway.
For
okay.
Maple Seed.
Right.
So, but anyways, so you got a couple weeks. If you're interested, just fire off an email of what style or what type of clothing you want, if it's t-shirt or hat or anything.
Catalog's not on the website or Facebook, right? No. Okay.
I think if you go under gallery, I think I got a picture of the hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
If you go, there's a host section now, and if you go on there, or no, it's my Facebook profile picture. I've got a gray long sleeve t-shirt thing. Trying to think if there's any pictures of the hat. There's my dog. So there's various pictures around.
I wonder if you can get that actual catalog online. We can put a link up for the catalog.
Yeah. Well, that's something else I'll look into. What I'll probably do is I'll stop in. Her shop's right on my run. I drive by her shop almost every day. So I'll poke my head in there and talk to her about it and see what she has as far as online stuff.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
So email the show, host@newshootercanada.ca, and let me know what kind of interest is out there, and we'll get something figured out. If we can't have it ready by the charity shoot, we'll figure something out.
Okay, sounds good.
Plan.
So I got, I'm planning a trip to the Redneck Ranch in Ohio, so I'm sure I could probably do another one in July or August. If I need to mail out stuff to any U.S. Folks that want stuff, because I imagine that mailing it from within the states would be cheaper. Right. So, we'll make it
are
work.
Are you going? Are you
Kelly's
going to Ohio? I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going there in September too. For the concealed carry course. Yeah, I'm going in September too.
Good.
I'm not.
But I'm going down. I'm going down to visit them in June. Gonna take the kidlets down
in June too.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Well, she's down for the CCW course, and then you're going.
In
and then
September.
You're going for, well, the course in September. That's a CCW course that you guys are going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. June is just a purely visit, just to go down and visit.
Oh. I didn't know it was a CCW course. I may have to cancel my holidays and leave Terry up at the cottage. That's September 12th, right?
Yeah.
As far as I know, I'm pretty sure it's a concealed carry course. Yeah.
No, that's the year we always we have this wheelchair accessible cottage that we book every year. And if I take off I'll get shot in my sleep.
Don't quote me on this, but I think what was the cost, Kelly? $125?
I
can't remember what the cost.
Now is that
was.
For an Ohio CCW, or is it just an actual?
Well, I don't think the Canadians are actually going to qualify for the CCW. It's just a concealed carry course.
Okay. Because at one point, Utah actually had a concealed carry course, and it was valid for Canadians. I took it up at Target Sports, and I had a valid Utah CCW. At the time, it was good for 36 states. But they stopped it. Canadians can't get CCWs. I'm not sure what states offer CCWs for foreigners now or not.
Yeah, I didn't look into it that closely. This is just an assumption on my part, but I'm going on the assumption that the Canadians are going purely for the training aspect of it, not for the permit aspect.
Red said you can't legally open carry in Ohio when you're down there.
Yes.
But we couldn't in Michigan, because guns have to be registered in Michigan.
Right. So I think the course is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Sunday, I'll probably open carry in Ohio.
Oh.
And then when I go down in June, we'll probably go do some shooting and I might carry on the range, but I don't think I'll open carry out in public.
All right. So it's $125, and it's the Valkyrie Defense Group that's running it, and it's on Saturday only.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Do you know who the instructor is?
Yeah, it's going to be Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he was one that just passed. He just got his rifle.
He just got
Appleseed.
His...
Yep.
Yeah,
actually, I just sent him a friend request yesterday or today. Good stuff.
Yeah. He's my friend already.
So. He's my friend, too.
You two are special, that's all.
We're very special.
Oh, awesome. Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, it's a...
And you know what, Tom? He's cute, too.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, Kelly said he's cute, so I guess he...
You may want to go with Kelly's recommendation more than mine, because I'm just teasing you about how you're always mentioning cute. So.
Okay. All right. Said cute
I think we've
today.
Killed this. You just did. All right. I think we've beat this horse. Let's close her off. Everyone's done their shutouts. I've got no shutouts this week. So,
nope.
All right, let's close her down. So until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoke
and take your kids shooting.
Kelly,
shout out.
Everyone.
Say something clever.
Something clever.
There we go. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
But you're taking the CCW course, so you'll have the training and the confidence.
Do you listen to the show as we record? I just finished saying that. In June, I'm not going to.
Oh, September, okay.
I probably will.
Oh, you guys.
Do you listen to the show as we
I'm
record?
Old, I forget things.
Are you going to edit?
Yeah, please do. No, he never does. We screw up, and I say, oh, you edit that. He'll say, okay, and he never does. And then all of a sudden, things mysteriously show up in outtakes that aren't even mentioned that we have outtakes.